Welcome to the City Confessions. I'm Marianne Yip, a native New Yorker, and I'm here to discuss all the thoughts that go through the minds of people living in New York City. Since I'm a native who was born and raised in the city that never sleeps, I come across people who are constantly in a rush. I would like to take a moment to sit down and talk about what's on their minds and what keeps them up at night. So sit back and let's dive into these confessions of people I know and people I just met. Hi guys, I hope you're doing well and welcome back to the City Confessions. Today I am so excited because I have Thomas Knox. He is also known as the Connection Curator, which you guys will find out why later. He's also the founder of Connection Collective, which is a community of initiatives focused on developing and encouraging extraordinary human connections, and the founder of Date While You Wait, which is a little experiment I think he did in the New York subway system a few years back, where he set up a small table and chairs and invited random strangers to sit down for a chat or a game while they waited for the train, which I think is so brilliant. So hi, Thomas, how are you and welcome?
I'm doing well, thank you. You did such a great job introducing me, shout out to you.
So before we recorded, I was mentioning about your voice. So for all of you guys listening, this is Thomas's natural voice. He's not sick. He's not sleepy. He just has that raspy little sexy thing going on. So just be aware of that.
Yeah, I get that question a lot. A lot of people are like, are you okay? Are you sick? You have a sore throat?
I wonder actually if you, when you are sick, how do you sound? The same?
It's probably a little bit worse.
Got it. Okay, so why don't you introduce yourself to the listeners? Tell us a little bit about who you are. I know you grew up in Brooklyn. Shout out to being a native New Yorker, because I am one as well. And just tell us a little bit about your story and your relationship with New York.
Yeah, well, you did such a great job, you know, introducing me, I guess, to kind of piggyback off what you shared. I'm born and raised in Brooklyn. When I was about 15, 16, I was just trying to figure out better ways to connect with people. So I used to do really cool, or I think it's cool, but really fun and weird things at school where I just would connect students with each other. So like I'll do different events or things like that just to bring together students. And as I've gotten older, I realized that connection was something that was missing. So that's what led me to create something like A Date While You Wait, or the Connection Collective, like you shared. And both of those companies are focused on creating human connection. Date While You Wait is more specifically done, as you said, in the subway, where I create a space for people to connect while they're waiting or while they're commuting. It can be a minute, it can be 20 minutes. I feel like we have a lot of time when we're traveling, and either we're reading a book or listening to music, and why not have a moment to just connect with another person? So that's what Date While You Wait is all about. And yeah, now from there, I've created the Connection Collective, which is kind of an overarching of what Date While You Wait is, but allowing and creating connections in other unique ways.
Mm-hmm. So first, I love that idea, because the whole purpose of my podcast, one, is called The City Confessions, and two, it's me honestly reaching out to strangers as well, or, you know, getting recommendations from friends, but just having a conversation, chit-chatting to people doing extraordinary things. So I feel like you and I are aligned in our values and craving for connection and unity and creating that. So love that we're on the same page about that. I want to first also dive more into that idea. Can you tell me about the experience in general? Did you find that a lot of people were open and willing to sit down and chat, or were they hesitant? Because as you know, a lot of times on the subway, people just want to do their own thing and like be left alone.
Yep. Once again, you hit it right ahead there. When I started, it was interesting because I didn't think it would be anything. I just wanted to do something fun to connect with people. And I remember the first day I met like 20 people. It was just weird. It was so weird to me because I didn't think people would be that interested in it. I thought it would be just kind of this thing where I might meet a couple people and we might connect and, you know, I'll go on with my day. But I ended up meeting people from all around the city. I met a couple people from other countries that were visiting. And it just was really, really fulfilling for me to know that, or to see that people really wanted to connect. And I found a way to do that where there was no strings attached. I wasn't looking to make anyone feel uncomfortable. And it just from that moment, from the first day to now, it's just been such a really, really, really dope experience. So,
So when did you start this?
I started in June of 2015.
And do you remember like what platform, what Absolutely. Train?
I remember almost the entire day. I started, it was in Union Square, 14th Street on the NQR.
That's actually the perfect area because it's like the heart of all the trains and transfers.
Me and my friends, we chose that station one because it was kind of central in the city, and like you said, upstairs there's always things booming, right? You have mm-hmm. Street performers, mm-hmm. you have shopping, you have the park there. But there's so much happening, so I just thought it, you know, me and my friends thought it'd be a great spot to start.
And so do you have any like crazy stories? Like, did anybody meet their love of their life through that experience?
There's several, you know, really cool unique stories. No love stories, but
that you know of, that is.
There you go. No love stories that I know of, but you know, like I've had conversations with people where I remember specifically on the first day, a gentleman sat down with me and he was super frustrated. He was on his way to the airport and he said he came from like Russia or some country to visit and meet his partner. They were dating for like 5 years and they finally saved enough money to come see him. And he was mm-hmm. sharing that when he met him in person, the connection wasn't the same. They had like such a bad, it just was so different than on the phone. And, you know, he was on his way back to the airport, and I told him after our conversations, he said to me, you know what, I'm gonna go back and try to have another conversation with him, you know, after talking to you. I'm gonna reschedule my flight and try to have another conversation. So I don't know how it turned out. I don't know if he did it or not, but wow. It was really cool to be able to support someone and having another discussion with someone in a different way based on a conversation they had with me. So things like that happen. But that was definitely
amazing. I love that. Can you talk more about your relationship with New York, though? Like, sure. What your upbringing was like?
Yeah, growing up, I was definitely the rebel. People that know me now, they don't believe it. They think I'm this, you know, clean cut, clear cut guy. But I was definitely out of control. I used to cut school a lot, so I went to school. I'm from Brooklyn, but I went to school in Staten Island. My parents mm-hmm. split at a young age, so my mom moved to Staten Island. My dad lived in Brooklyn, so I would travel between homes. And I ended up going to high school in Staten Island, and I would literally cut school to go just explore the city. So there are times that I would go to Central Park. I'm a big basketball guy, so I was always in Central Park playing basketball. You know, I'd go to West 4th and hoop at the cage there. And just different parks around the city. I would just go around middle of the school day, like this kid who's supposed to be in school, just riding the trains, going all around the city, exploring the city. So that was something that was really, really like important for me as I got older, to understand what New York City has to offer. You know, as a New Yorker, a lot of times when you're from a certain borough, you never go to the other boroughs.
Like, amen to that.
Yeah, people in Brooklyn, they're like, I'm not going to the Bronx, you know, things like that. So.
No, that's so true. You mentioned Staten Island. I'm like, where the hell is Staten Island? Like, what's over there? Like, honestly.
Yeah, it's just funny because as New Yorkers, we, you know, we just stay, we stick to what we're used to. So, you know, used to being in Brooklyn, Brooklyn has everything you need. The Bronx has everything you need. Manhattan has everything you need. So for me, my dad always took me and my brother outside the borough. And, you know, he took us to the Bronx Zoo. You know, he took us to museums, and he was just that type of parent. And, you know, I thank him for it, because to this day, there's still locations that I go check out every time I'm home. And it's just something I have to do because it's a part of me. So, yeah, that's been my experience with New York. And I always tell people, no matter where I move, there's no place like it. No place like it.
Mm-hmm. I agree 100%. I think you make a really good point. I grew up on the Lower East Side, and I never thought I'd be a Brooklyn girl, and I'm a Brooklyn girl now. Like, I moved to East Williamsburg, the cusp of East Williamsburg and Bushwick a year ago, and now I freaking love it. And it's just so weird to think that, because everybody who knew me would know that I was, not that I was anti-Brooklyn, I definitely liked Williamsburg, but it was always like a mission, even though it was just like right there, like cross, like taking the L train. But I've also, I think the more people that I meet when they come visit New York, especially for the first time, that has allowed me to also see the city in different light and to, you know, feed off of their energy and their new perspective. And it has allowed me to also explore different boroughs, different activities, because New York is definitely something special. And I think a lot of people think it's just Manhattan, but like you said, there's, especially with dining, like, each borough has a dining scene, and I love that. Yeah. Not sure about Staten Island, but...
You're coming from Staten Island. I see you. Okay. Staten Island has what it has, I guess. I, when I lived there, I did everything in my power to get off the island, so I wasn't one of those people who hung out there. I just kind of lived there and then went into the city. But I was going to add to your point, I actually had a moment a couple of days ago, because... You know, I'm in my 30s now, and growing up, I would literally like get on the train and travel 2 hours to go play basketball and then come back 2 hours all sweaty and smelly on the train. And now as someone who's in his 30s, I'm like, I'm not going to play basketball at a park that's 10 minutes away from me. And it's just very interesting how as a teenager growing up, I was with it. Like, I would take those 2-3 hour train or bus rides, two buses, to get to my favorite park. But now as an adult, I'm like, I don't know, man. I can't travel 10 minutes. Like, it's just a lot of work.
I feel you on that. I think also when you're younger, you don't care. You don't have these standards and expectations. You're kind of like, it is what it is. I'm going to go with the flow. And I think when you grow older, you're like, I have standards, and it just shows the growth as a person. I mean, same thing with traveling. You know, I remember when I would travel a lot, I would stay in these like hostels, like shared bathrooms. Like, I would never do that now. So that's really interesting. I'm curious to know, when have you felt the most proud?
Just in my life in general.
Yeah. Like, what is that highlight for you?
It's a good question. I would probably say graduating high school, you know, getting out of school. I was, like I said earlier, I was one of those kids who, you know, I had just a troubled childhood. I was definitely a rebel. Thank God I never got into like drugs or anything, but I was just one of those guys who had an issue with authority. So any teacher or anybody who would try to tell me something, if it wasn't my parents, I'd be like, you need to get the heck out of my face. So graduating, I ended up graduating a year late, and like having my mom, my dad, and my aunt, you know, my siblings there, that was something that was definitely something that was special. As well as, you know, creating Date While You Ate and all the positive feedback it's gotten. And, you know, my parents, they never really understood it. They're like, what is this thing you're doing? Like, what? And I remember the New York Times, they wrote an article about me, and I got a bunch of copies of it, and I remember like giving it to my dad, and he was like reading the article, like, okay, I get it now. It makes sense.
That's amazing. So, yeah,
those are definitely moments that two of the moments. I have others, but those are two of the moments that definitely, you know, I'm proud of.
And then following on that question, when have you felt the most challenged?
I would probably say last couple of years, just trying to transition.
Yeah, tell me about that.
Yeah, transitioning from, you know, I work for Apple for a long time. I worked for Apple for about 7 years. And when I started Date YU8, I was working at Apple and sitting in the subway 3 hours. So I would work my 8-hour shift and then literally go sit in the subway for 3 hours to connect with people. And I decided to leave Apple to pursue this full time. And at first it was great because I was getting all these opportunities. I signed with a public speaking agency. So I was speaking at universities. You know, I was doing work with different brands. It was great. And then that well started to dry up, and you know, I worked in kind of business development for Apple, so I knew how to develop and forecast something for myself. I just didn't do it, and I had to kind of recalibrate and pivot. So the last couple of years have been a challenge because I was at a point where I needed to figure out kind of next steps of what I wanted to do with Date YU8 and some of the other projects that I had. And, you know, fortunately for me, I was able to turn them into businesses, and, you know, they were starting to kind of put me in a place where I could develop a tangible business. And obviously everything happening with COVID has slowed it down as well, but I'm proud to say I'm in a good place now. You know, we're working on a TV show for Date YUA, so it's going to be coming to TV screen soon. I got a couple other projects and businesses that I've started because of where we are, and just really thankful for the opportunity to be able to use this time wisely to build, you know, and follow my passion.
That's so exciting for you. And obviously you mentioned that, yes, we are still in a pandemic. So what is keeping you up at night at the moment? So what are your stresses and burdens? It sounds like obviously the last 3 years or last few years actually were a bit rough, but it seems like you got your, you know, your groove and everything is going smoothly. And this can be related to Date YUA professionally or personally, but at this current moment on this Wednesday gloomy day, do you have any just like things on your mind right now that you just are like, oh, this is stressing me out?
Yeah, well, the biggest thing is transitioning from, you know, a business or from projects that are all done in person. Like my whole platform is literally everything I do is in person. So, I think a lot about how I can create opportunities for people to connect virtually and utilizing what I've developed so far to be able to push forward the importance of connection. And, you know, my heart is definitely heavy with everything happening around the social injustices that are happening within our country. And in my mind, I'm like, what can I do to support that? And what can I do to support our community in a way where connection is prevalent? I feel like we really need it right now. So, that's pretty much the thing that's on my mind when it comes to how do I continue to develop my businesses and in the virtual realm, as well as how can I support our communities in a way where connection plays a huge role.
Mm-hmm. And it seems like you are living your dream life. You're pursuing your passion. But is there one thing that you've always wanted to do but still haven't?
Not specifically professionally. I'm with you on travel. I would love to be able to travel probably like 9 months out of the year. So my goal is to build out, you know, my business is to be able to perform remotely, right? Where I can be sitting in Dubai and getting the same work done that I would be doing at home. That is something I look forward to at some point, is being able to delegate to, you know, team people on our team, or being able to work remotely in other cities, other countries. Because I'm really big on understanding other cultures and being able to relate to them as well.
Yeah, I agree 100%. So are you working, I don't want to say like by yourself, but I'm assuming you have a team, correct?
Well, it really depends on what we're focused on, right? So, you know, when it comes to DateYUA, I have a team of people I work with who, obviously with the show, we have a production team, but usually I have a photographer, a videographer with us. So that's primarily my team. And we have different people kind of coming in and out depending on projects. As far as the collective goes as a whole, the Connection Collective, we have like four or five members who do similar things. They have similar projects. So we support each other. And the goal is to build essentially a community of connectors. So that's what the collective, that's what it should be right now. It's kind of up in the air with everything happening, but that's what it should be. And then I have a bow tie company, Be Great Bow Ties. Ooh. Yeah, we make bow ties out of Scrabble.
Scrabble?
Yeah, Scrabble pieces, the board game. We make bow ties.
That's so cool.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
Are you a bow tie guy or something?
Yeah, absolutely. Usually I'm in a bow tie. So we actually just released a new collection. It's called the Be Creative Collection. And the collection is focused on supporting artists in designing one-of-a-kind pieces. So we just give an artist a blank bow tie, and they draw, paint, whatever they kind of want to do to it. And we sell them as one-of-a-kind pieces. So it's a new collection that I released actually yesterday that I'm really excited about. So I have teams based on what we're working on to answer your question, kind of rambling. Mm-hmm. But to answer your question, it really kind of depends on what I'm working on. I don't have anybody who is like permanently on our team, but
got it.
I have people that I work with when I need them based on project.
That makes sense. So I'm also curious to know what your morning routine is. Are you a morning person? Are you not? Do you have like non-negotiables? Like for me, it's definitely coffee.
Yeah, it's funny because I'm definitely a morning person, so I'm probably up 6 a.m. every day. It's usually going to the gym, but, you know, the gyms have been closed. So it's kind of been, you know, I'm a big basketball guy, so I take that 20-minute walk to the park and hoop usually. But beyond that, I'll be honest, I don't sleep much. So I'm like, I probably sleep like 4 hours a day. It's very hard for me to sleep because my mind...
We need to change that.
Yeah, it's really bad. My mind is always wandering. Like, I'm always thinking about... Like, I'm so excited about things that I work on that it's hard for me to sleep. So my morning routine would probably be to try to find a way to sleep. Well, other than that, you know, I read. I have a couple of different blogs that I check out, and I'm into a lot of weird things. So, you know, like I'm looking at like tiny homes.
Wait, tell me about these weird things.
Really? Yeah, I'm really into tiny homes. So I watch a lot of tiny home, videos, and I subscribe.
That's not weird.
It's weird because it's not something someone would tell you. Hey, I wake up in the morning to read a blog about tiny homes, but I do. I also, you know, I'm learning and getting better with understanding the stock market. So I have some friends in that space. So I've been focused on educating myself there. And then, you know, whatever follow-up I need to do for the business as far as making calls, and I may need to reach out to clients. That's really what my morning routine is. I don't drink a lot of coffee. Coffee is not a big thing for me.
It's all good. Whatever works for you, you know?
I have to eat fruit. I will say I eat fruit every day. So that's
nature's candy.
Yeah, I don't play. I have to have some fruit, but other than that, yeah, I really don't have anything that I do.
Got it. So I now want to change the direction a little bit, and I don't know if you saw this coming, but it's called the City Confessions, and the main reason is because I felt like, well, personally, I had a lot of experiences in the past that were weighing me down, but also were really critical in shaping who I am today. And I'm normally a very private person, but I felt like if I shared my stories and my struggles, that it could potentially help others. And that's why I decided to create this platform to basically shed light on people's stories and everything that they've been doing and how they got to where they are today. So that's why it's called The City Confessions. And I basically invite my guests and encourage them to share a confession. It does not have to be serious. It can be something very silly. It's whatever you make of it. But I just wanted to let you know, like, where that came from in my mind. So if you were to complete the sentence of my confession is, what would that be?
That's so funny. I appreciate you like giving me a description on my options before I
throw out something crazy.
I don't know. My confession is,
I guess also like what is one thing that maybe, what is one thing that you wish people knew about you, or what is one thing that you feel like people assume about you that just isn't true, or like just like a random like fact that people would never guess about you? It's just, you know, it's kind of like a lesser known fact, I guess.
Yeah. So the thing that comes to mind is something I shared yesterday, which obviously it's known now, but one thing people don't know about me is I played lacrosse in high school. So that's something that's funny. When people look at me, they're like, it's no way you were a lacrosse player. But also I think when people look at me, they have a very, like, I don't want to say a mean mugging face, but I seem like, if you don't know me, and if you haven't met me, I may seem like I'm kind of a prick. I may look that way in the face, but once you have a conversation and once you get to know me, then that definitely changes. I'm trying to think, what else? If I had a confession, what else would I? Yeah, those would be pretty much it. I don't. One thing about being the connection curator, right, and being who I am, I'm pretty open. I don't really have much to, I don't want to say to hide, but there's not really much I don't share. Very just like, hey, this is what it is.
So do you feel like you're an open book? Like, absolutely. Do you think if people, yeah, if they ask you anything, you would just be like, I'm going to, you know, put it out there?
100%. I have no filter, as my friends and family will say. I'm going to keep it real with you. And let you know my thoughts. It's a good question, but for someone like myself, I'm just very open. I'm, you know, whatever you ask me, I try to be, you know, be my authentic self and keep it 100.
No, I love that. I think your attitude is very New Yorker, and it's something that I would say myself. You know, so I can relate to you on that for sure.
Sorry, I don't have a.
Well, I want to challenge you, I guess, and ask, can you tell me about a time, have you ever been ashamed of something that you've done or that something has happened in your life?
Yeah, another good question, but no, not so much ashamed. I would say, you know, growing up, you know, my mom, yeah, I guess growing up, my mom was on drugs at a point in my life. And I ended up in a group home. So I was in a group home for a couple of years. And like I said, I'm open book. So, you know, people that know me know about this. But what was very interesting about that experience was that it I think it shaped me to be the person I am today, because I would connect. I had so many other young men that were going through similar things that I was going through with my life and my parent. And it brought me closer to them. So I end up understanding what brotherhood is and relating to them. And I think because of that, or I know because of that, it's definitely shaped me as an adult on how I develop and how I connect with people, how I can connect with anybody. I can connect with, you know, someone who's young, someone who's old. I can connect I've connected with people who or even with AYUA, people who don't even speak English, and we're like having a connection in the moment. And I'm pretty sure I learned that, and I that was developed through my time being in the group home when I was a kid. But I'm not ashamed of it. It's very interesting because a lot of people that have been in those spaces have horror stories, and you know they say they've gone through this and gone through that. My road was very, very it was well put together. Like, it actually worked out really well. You know, my mom needed that time to get her life together. She did what she had to do, and once she got her life together, I was back with her. So it was definitely a unique time in my life, but that would be something that, you know, a lot of people don't know about me.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I mean, I think the normal assumption with group home is that it's like a very, you know, obviously I haven't been in one, but that it's a very overwhelming, stressful, not pleasant experience. But it sounds like what you're saying is that for you, it actually was positive, and it really changed the trajectory of your life, correct?
Yeah, absolutely, 100%. Yeah, and not only was it positive, but it led me to better understand who I was. I've said several times, I was definitely a rebel during my childhood. But when I got to that point in my life, it helped me shape some things. And don't get me wrong, I still was a little bit of a rebel afterwards, but it definitely gave me a little more of an understanding of who I was and some direction that I didn't have previous to that experience.
Awesome. So as a connection curator, it seems like you are very experienced with connecting people, with conversing, and just making things happen. But what are you not very good at? What are some of your things that you know that you should work on or that you want to work on?
I guess professionally, it's definitely time management, right? Sleeping. Yeah, just being someone who manages my work-life balance. I've never been very good with that. And I'm so addicted to the grind. I'm so addicted to the hustle that I've definitely destroyed relationships, both friendships, relationships with family members, relationships, romantic relationships, because I tend to put my work before everything else, what I'm working on before everything else. So I definitely would say that's a challenge of mine as I continue to be in this space as a business owner. I'm trying to find the balance between both.
That's honestly the struggle. I feel like I've been doing this for a year and a half, and I think like 70% of the guests have always said that finding work-life balance or just balance in general is so difficult. And I think a lot of it has to do with New York. I believe that this city like gives this, I don't even know if it's this unattainable goal, but a drive that like we all should be doing something. We all also have like side hustles and we're always on the go. So in a way, I feel like COVID has been a blessing in disguise, which forces us to slow down and reevaluate our lives and figure out what we really prioritize.
Absolutely, yeah. And you bring up a good point with COVID, because it, for me, I was trying my best to use this time wisely, right? These months where I'm home, I pretty much have an office set up. And I realized that just because I have the office set up doesn't mean I need to sit at the desk all day. It's good to get out. It's good to get some air. You know, like I said earlier, go to the park. And even sit in the living room and watch a show. Like it's okay. But I am, my friends will tell you, I am very, very focused. I wouldn't say addicted. I'm focused on getting to where I need to be. I see it in my head. Hence me not being able to sleep. So I see it, I visualize it, and for me visualizing it, my goal is to get it and turn it from a dream into a reality. So a lot of my time, that's what's on my mind.
Yes, that's so, you make, yeah, I love that because honest, in my last podcast, that's what I was telling my guest. I was telling her that there, what separates successful people and like regular people is this, the execution. You know, you can dream it, but if you don't make it happen, then like there's no, then that's it. You know, you just end up wondering what if, or I wish I did that. So love that you are definitely a go-getter and a doer. I also want to take a moment right now to just acknowledge your presence, your raspy voice. You showing up today, that means a lot to me just because I know that you have a million things on your plate, and to pencil me in, I'm really appreciative of that. I know the value of time. So I thank you for that.
Absolutely. I appreciate the opportunity. I think, like I said, it's good to take a break. Even though I'm still sitting at the desk, I'm not looking at the screen I would normally look at. So
yeah,
it's, I'm honored.
I guess I'm doing you a favor.
Yeah.
Just kidding.
Exactly. No, you are. I think you are. And I appreciate you.
Awesome. So two more questions before we actually wrap it up.
Sure.
What is the best compliment you've ever received?
Best compliment. I can give you a few for different things.
Yeah. Give me a few.
So when it comes to professionally, the best compliment I've received was by when I started Date While You Wait. Someone sent me a message on Facebook and they said that it's nice to see that someone cares. That's literally what they wrote. I love what you're doing. It's nice to see that someone cares. Thank you. And I've probably gotten over 500 or 600 messages. That one like really hit me. So I would definitely say that from a Date While You Wait kind of professional standpoint. As far as like personally, so what I do a lot is like I said, I'm a weirdo. I give out books to youth, to young Black men. So, what I do is I'm really into this book by Hill Harper, the actor, called Letters to a Young Brother, and it played a huge role for me when I was a teenager. So what I've done is I literally purchase 10, 15 of these books. And every time I see a young man, I may ask his mom or his dad, can I give him a book? And I was at a bookstore once and they sell used books. And I opened one of the books and I saw Letters to a Young Brother. I picked it up, I opened it, and I saw a note that I wrote to somebody like probably like 10 years ago in the book.
Wow.
And it was just mind blowing to me because under that note, the person wrote, they basically wanted me to know that they didn't just give away the book. So they wrote a note to the next person. They were like, someone, you know, a person gifted me this book and I want to gift it to you. It's done this for me.
Wow. Oh my God. I just got like chills.
And yeah, that's something. And I do it to this day. Like in my closet right now, I probably have like 15. These books and I just write notes. I'm like, you know, this helped me in my lifetime. I hope it helped you.
Wow. Oh my God. That's so powerful. Yeah. I love that so much.
So I don't know if it's quite a compliment, but to me it was a compliment to see that the young person didn't give away the book. Because if I would have saw the book with just my note, I would have thought, and it's crazy because we think negatively. I probably would have thought positively, you know me, but we think negatively like, man, he just gave away the book. But to make sure that if I see it one day, I wouldn't take it the wrong way. That person wrote a note right under mine. Was like, the book, you know, the person, the above person gave me this book. It served its purpose for me. It did this, this, and this, and I hope it can do that for you. And I thought that was, dope.
Well, that's what I was just going to say, though. I mean, I don't think I would have taken it the wrong way either way, because I think, you know, if he passed it along without, if he like, in your words, gave it away, it just goes to show that not that it it no longer served him, but I'm sure he got something out of it and he wanted to give what he got from to somebody else. So I think either way it would have been a positive trickle effect for sure.
Yeah, I agree. I'm the same way. I look at everything in a positive light, but I could definitely see someone reading that and be like, wait, what? Huh? I gave, but it was several years ago. And I give them out so much that I don't, sometimes I remember the person. They may shoot me a message or I may give them my info. And sometimes it just will be a stranger that, you know, I see a young person with his, like I said, his mom, his dad, his grandma. I may see him by himself. And I'm like, hey, you know, do you enjoy reading? If not, this is a great start. Check out this book.
My God, I love that idea so much. I kind of want to like not steal it, but like, you know, take the concept and apply it to something else. It's so amazing.
Absolutely. We have to pay for it, you know.
100%, yeah.
One of us wins, we all win, right? So try my best to support our youth.
I love your attitude. See, this is why. I feel like, not to like, you know, put myself on a pedestal, but I feel like every time I bring guests on, first of all, I'm always super motivated and inspired by them, but I'm always like, yes, like kudos to me for like bringing cool people on that are doing badass things, like people that are actually making a difference. Yeah. You know, I honestly believe in energy and vibes, and like, I know I haven't met you, but I just feel a really good vibe from you, and you know, vibes don't lie.
Yeah, I agree, and you should give yourself credit. Like, I would literally like high five you right now.
Yes, virtually high five.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so now it's basically closing it out. I know you mentioned a little bit about the bow tie, you mentioned a little bit about projects and the TV show. This is your chance to tell the listeners what can they be on the lookout from you within the next 3 months or the next year, whatever you can share. What are you currently working on?
Oh yeah, there's a lot. So I'll make it very quick. Yeah. So with Date While You Wait, we're working on a show. The show is in production. So we're actually looking to get it finished by the end of the year. Yeah, really excited about that because we have some really, really incredible guests. And it's very similar to what I do in the subway. We're going to have conversations. We're going to have really cool segments. And I won't give it away, but, you know, you tune in and you will be able to enjoy. As of right now, it's not on any network. So if you're interested in you know, following it and being a part of the journey, we have the website, which is datewhileyouwait.tv. You can sign up for our newsletter or you can follow me on Instagram. We have an Instagram page for it, which is also Date While You Wait. So that's that particular thing I'm working on. And then as far as the Bowtie brand, like I said, we just released this program and its collection. So the idea is to connect with as many artists as possible and get them to make one-of-a-kind pieces. And the whole brand kind of, the brand story, I guess, or what the brand represents is what we say is our slogan is we want our customers to be unique in style. So any customer who is interested in possibly making a bow tie or purchasing a bow tie, you can definitely go to our website, which is begreatbowties.com. And B is B-E, so the word B-E great, bowties.com is where you can find the bow tie stuff. And then the Connection Collective is kind of the head of the beast. That's where everything else is under. And we're just working on really dope events. We have a couple food series. I have a couple photo walks that I'm developing. And it's all about creating connection. The good news is some of these events we can do in person, which is great because they don't require tons of people. And we can do it socially distancing and, you know, protecting ourselves. So I'm excited to be able to connect with people in person again after this time off. But those are the main things I'm working on. If anyone wants to connect, they can definitely hit me up on any one of those platforms and I will definitely take the time to touch base and have a conversation and take it from there.
Awesome. And don't you guys worry, I will leave all of the information in the show notes and description. So make sure you check that out and follow Thomas, and everything that he's working on will be listed below. So again, thank you so much for joining me today, Thomas. And I hope you guys enjoy this episode. Stay tuned for next week's, and I hope you guys have a good day. Bye.
Bye, guys.